You came to Tulsa in 1949.
Mm-hmm.
Your husband was with you then.
Don was brought back. He was injured in the invasion.
In the Normandy invasion?
Yes. He went in on Omaha Beach.
When you came to Tulsa then, you came together here and lived
here.
Yes.
Being that he was an infantry unit commander, he had to stand on base with his men. I lived in attics and basements. There was no housing for us wives. Wherever little army camp we went to, there was always some little town, and they'd put a cot in a ceiling or a basement and call it a bedroom, and that's how we lived. If the girls got pregnant, they had to go home. There was no place to have a baby. I was lucky. Every time they'd move our 80th Division, they'd send me ahead to go to the Chamber of Commerce in whatever little town was close to that camp and rent everything I could so they could come to be with their husbands and not have to go home. Most of the 80th Division were all Easterners, Yankees.
I'm trying to get you to Tulsa.
Okay.
You came
when
to Tulsa.
They brought Don back Christmas of 44. They sent him to South Carolina. Then they went to Sam Houston. Then we went to Springfield, Missouri. Then they sent him to Bushnell in Utah. We were there 3.5 years because they were working on his wounds. And he got his medical discharge at Fort Douglas in Utah, Christmas of 45. We came to Tulsa, lived in a basement, and the Army called him back for more treatment on his arm. They were digging shrapnel out of him for years. He had to go to Hot Springs in Arkansas. So he was there almost another 3 or 4 months. But I lived in a basement right there off of West 3rd.
You settled down in Tulsa now, and that's in 1949.
Mm-hmm.
What do you remember of downtown Tulsa? Name the stores that you would have shopped in.
I want you to know that during World War II, South Boston from 2nd Street to 1st Street were 9 walk-up little hotels. There was no housing. And if it wasn't for the vets thing, we wouldn't have had a house by TU. That's where we finally moved into a house because he got his VA thing and we got this house. Downtown was buzzing. They closed down 9 theaters. There was the Orpheum, the Ritz, the Palace, the Rialto, the Cozy, the Brook. They shut them all down.
Why?
No parking. Then they started imploding and tearing down. They tore down streets. They tore down Vandiver's. The Barons had come in and got a lot of the other things moved out because they wanted that row of buildings, and one was trying to outdo each other with their building. And when Waite and Wyatt Phillips, the twins, found out that Birch and Clint Mayo had built a hotel and a business building on the other side of Main Street, they said, we're not going to let them have that. So they imploded, tore down all these beautiful buildings to make parking lots. In 1950, Sears moved out to which was the end of Tulsa. That was the boundary. At 21st and Yale, and all the downtown merchants were laughing and going, look at Sears. They moved clear out in the boonies out there. Sears turned around and said, we have parking. The theaters moved, and a lot of the businesses disappeared because they were making parking lots. Well, of course, thank God they kept that strip of the Oil Barons buildings because of the Art Deco, which was the big mode of the day.
Right.
And the tunnels.
And we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
But did you have the feel of segregation then in 1949 and 50?
Oh, heavens, yes. I couldn't understand, even though my father-in-law told me all about the race riot because he was helping hide his black delivery boys and they were hiding some of their friends down in his basement. In 1921, the last of May.
Right. But the segregation in 1949 and 50, 51 is very real, and you saw...
Absolutely. Blacks were not allowed to shop downtown. Now, before the war, even, if some lady living in the other part of town wanted to pick up some merchandise, she had to give a note for her black maid to come into downtown Tulsa to go to the department store like Brown Duncan or Clark's, Renberg's, Palace Clothiers.
Vandiver's,
Streets. They had to have a note, and they'd come into the floor walker in the department stores and hand him the note saying that Mrs. So-and-so had an order to be picked up. The floor walker would go and get the article and give it to the maid. She had to stand almost right in the big middle of the store and wait for the floor walker to bring her the merchandise. Aunt Kelly was kind of a rebel, too, because I was always saying something, and she'd say, shh, you better not say too much. But anyway, I was very aware that there was bootleggers around, and there was all this undercurrent. That's why I was so interested in Tulsa and Oklahoma history, because it was so different. Of course, you know, we had Bloody Kansas, where they were doing all these civil wars and one thing and another, and the abolitionists and the freedmen and the Indians and what have you. But Oklahoma's history, oh, there's so much to it, and I'm learning more every day.
You were about 27 in 1949 then when you came here to make these observations. Restaurants, any names?
Oh, the blacks had to come to the back door. They came around to the back of the alley to pick up their food. They were not allowed to come in and sit. Don't you remember the big standoff they had in that drugstore in Oklahoma City? Some blacks walked in and sat at the counter in this drugstore, and they had this big to-do over that. Yeah, blacks had to go through alleys and places like that in order to get their food or their merchandise or whatever it is they needed.
And then they lived in Greenwood area. They were not welcomed in downtown Tulsa at all.
Only the workers were allowed in downtown.
Do you remember the names of restaurants that you ate in or that the public ate in?
Oh, there was Bishop's, and there was two cafeterias. One was on Boulder, close to the YWCA. It was on Boulder, and the YWCA was across from the Mayo. It's gone, that big cafeteria. Nelson's was there. I remember it. I remember a cafeteria that was upstairs in one of the buildings that was torn down. I'm trying to think of the name of it. Aunt Kelly would take me there for tea. It was a real nice restaurant upstairs. Then there was one in the bank building at 4th and Main, which is now First National. Crest and Woolworths, the dime stores, they're gone. JCPenney, Frug's. I worked at Frug's for a while in the jewelry department. I had my son in 1950, and that's when we got our little house by TU with his VA.